Please remain standing for the reading of Psalm 67, the passage on which our sermon will be. Psalm 67. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on the earth, your saving power among all the nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity, and you guide the nations upon earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord will stand forever. Please be seated. It could be said that, and some have said it, that we are in a perfect storm of sorts. Years ago, when I was living in the Chicago area, I went to see a movie with another couple, a couple who loved the sea, and the movie we went to see was Perfect Storm. And some of you know the story, perhaps, the story of swordfish boats that went out and got caught in a convergence of two massive storms. And as they sought to find their escape, they had to go over an enormous wave. And I won't tell you exactly what happened, but when we think of our perfect storm, we don't have to have just the fuel and the energy, the engine that fuels us, for we have this invisible cable that pulls us through a perfect storm. The perfect storm that I'm describing to you, and the cable that pulls us through, is the Lord himself. The perfect storm that I would be describing to you, you're familiar with already. Whether it's the political tensions, the racial tensions, the COVID pandemic that we're dealing with, economic uncertainties, school upheavals, employment uncertainties, sadnesses that are going on. There's a lot going on. And as we read the passage this morning, this passage is just flat full of praise and gladness and hope and beauty and God's glory. As we engage with this passage, I want to say it's similar to as you in your daily Bible readings might do. As you are going through life on your own experiences, sometimes you come to passages that are just exultant, but you yourself might not feel exultant. Or you might be really doing well, but you find yourselves in Jeremiah or Lamentations, and they're just groaning and lamenting. What do we do? Even as we enter into this passage of praise, in the midst of our perfect storm, just like we do in our own devotional readings, we choose to enter in. Enter into God's reality, even though it's different than our own current circumstances. And it's not dissimilar to when you are thriving in your own life, but you have someone you love who is suffering. What do? You enter into their life, and you are compassionate. Or perhaps the other way around, you are suffering. What does someone else do, a brother or sister in Christ, who is flourishing? They enter in. And so in this passage this morning, all this praise and glory and hope and beauty amidst our current perfect storm, enter into this and see the hope that is there for us in spite of the storm. I want us to look at this in terms of hope and then of fuel and gladness and glory. The very first word is followed by an expression of where this psalmist's hope is. And in fact, this psalm it's written to a choir master, it's with stringed instruments, it's a psalm, but it's also a song. It's a song that would be sung even in perfect storms to remind God's people of this hope that they have. And the hope that he lays before him is not one of beautiful circumstances. The hope that he lays before him is the need and the surety of God's blessing. So look at the very first word where it says may. And then he fills in the blank. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us. You may already see it and you're hearkening to it, the Aaronic blessing from Numbers chapter 6. We're going to see this huge, so the psalmist calls forth this wonderful blessing for Numbers 6 that God was instructed the priests to get to lay upon this people. So he wishes this amazing intimacy with God, his face may be gracious and bless us. The ultimate hope that is out there for you is this: intimacy with God, his grace, his blessing, and his intimacy. And yet, there might be other ways that on a day-to-day basis, we find our emotions up and down because we fill in this blank differently. We say, may, so that first word, and then we fill in the blank with, may things return to normal as soon as possible. May the economy recover. May my family stay healthy. May my children go back to school. And all of these things are wonderful things, but those things are uncertain. If your hope is tethered to the way those things fill in the blank, there is no certainty as to when all will be the way you wish it to be. The only thing that is certain is that God is with us. He's gracious to us. His face shines upon us. You also see that there is a hope in verse 2, that your way may be known on the earth, your saving power among all nations. So not only is he calling forth this hope of the Aaronic blessing, but all of a sudden the Abrahamic hope is called forward. So this psalmist is going back to these profound covenant hopes and blessings. So from Genesis chapter 12, God says to Abram, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and whomever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples will be blessed through you. This amazing hope. He is laying before them again that not only is this hope that is out there for you for just the people of Israel and all who would come to faith in the God of Israel, but to all the nations. Look at when you see, I hope you have your copy of the scriptures open, as you see this repeatedly, you see the word nations and peoples and peoples and peoples and nations over and over, and I've lost track, maybe seven times, depending on the translation of nations and peoples. From the very beginning, the hope that is laid out to God's people was that this promise was not just to any one ethnic group, any one race, any one tribe, but to all nations, to all tribes and all tongues. And we see the picture happen again. So it's not just to an olive-colored-skinned Mediterranean or Middle Eastern tribe. It's to all nations, all races, all peoples. Beautiful hope, this salvation. And then we find our way all the way from Genesis to Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7 describes this worship that we will all one day, this hope before us that we will all one day see and experience. Revelation chapter 7, verse 9, and John writes, after this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne before the Lamb. And they were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. Every nation, tribe, people, and language, Genesis to Revelation. And here this hope is set before us right here. What is the hope that you are looking to? The hope that is going to see you through this perfect storm of your life, whether it's economic, whether it's health, whether it's a loss of a loved one that we just prayed for. Where is your hope? Trust God with these things. He cares for you. Bring these hopes to Him. But the anchor for your hope, that tether that will pull you all the way through this storm, is right here, that God would be gracious to us and He would bless us and He'd make His face to shine upon us. Now, this hope is something that can fuel us. And if it's not this hope that fuels us, that moves us through the course of our days, it's something else. So the question then is, what are you fueling on during the course of your days? My wife Kelly and I went to see the children that were just mentioned, and we made a long trip across Interstate 20, and then we went up the coast to the coast of North Carolina, not far from where Jeff is. I think they were headed for Kitty Hawk. I sent him the phone number that he might get a reservation for the Cedar Island Ferry that will take him up. And I'd rather be here with you, but I wouldn't mind being there this morning either. It's a beautiful part of the world. But I guarantee on this journey, you have to fuel your car several times. You want to keep going. You don't want to get stuck. You also might need to fuel your body with some peanut M&Ms and a Coke along the way. So the question is not for you and your journey and your pilgrimage is not if you are fueling yourself, it's on what? During the course of the day, where do you find your hopes? And one way to check that is occasionally maybe set an alarm on your watch and find, where are your emotions right now? Are you afraid? Are you anxious? Are you fearful? Where are your hopes? Are your hopes in all things going well? Or are you fueling yourself that God is with you? He's gracious with you. His face is shining upon you in Jesus, and you can keep going through this storm. So, hope, and hope that fuels us, and even fuels us into gladness and glory. Look with me in verse 4. We've already made a comment that this word nations is part of this gladness here. But verse 4 says, let the nations be glad, this gladness, and sing for joy. And then there's the word for. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. Why? Because God judges the nations, the peoples, with equity. Now I see what Jeff was referring to. He says he brings his iPhone up here to keep his papers from flying away. But, there we go. God, why do we sing for joy? Why do we have gladness and sing for joy? Because we have a judge. Doesn't that just thrill you? Don't we have judges here in Tuscaloosa? But this word is not merely a judge. It's a leader. It's a righteous, wise, all-knowing, not just some well-meaning legal expert who can solve little cases and send you on your way, not an unrighteous judge like Jesus talks about in the New Testament. This judge will judge the nations with equity, fairness, righteousness, not simply a well-meaning, bumbling legal expert judge, but a judge that will thoroughly lead His people with equity. Does this sound like joy? It does in our culture right now. This word equity is bandied about, or inequity. And there is much in our current world. I mean, we all know inequities and corruptions and favoritisms and despots all around the world. One day, we will indeed sing for joy. And we can sing for joy now that one day We will have a judge who will lead us with equity and fairness. And not only a judge, but look at the second line there. If your Psalms is broken up by mine, you will judge the people with equity and you will guide the nations. So here you have the sense of not only this legal expert judge who is righteous and good, but now you have a shepherd, a guide who is going to be with you, who is going to, just like Jesus is in the New Testament, he's the good shepherd. He guides us. He moves us along. And we have His Spirit also that guides us and moves us. Sing for joy. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. Well, the glory and the praise will be for God, that God one day will do this and we can be a part of it. I don't know. I was raised in Oklahoma, and we had a football team out there, and we won the national championship when I finished college, and I worked in the athletic department, so I cared about that. I don't care as much as I used to, but I understand y'all have a football team here locally, and some people think that football team is like 3 hours away. How far is Auburn? So there's this clash that goes on. Maybe it's the Iron Bowl, I understand. And the stadium is filled with people, some for Auburn, but absolutely most for, oh, and we sang about the Crimson Tide earlier. Did y'all notice that in the hymn? The Crimson Tide is, they're cheering. And I had the pleasure of baking last fall in one of those games, as we, 100 degree heat, but it was really an experience. And when you go there, you don't know everybody. You don't know the people necessarily sitting around you. And there are various ethnicities represented in there. And I have to say, I only heard English, but I would imagine people whose first language was other languages were also there cheering for their team. And what happens when your team wins? You all join together in the gladness of the team that wins. You erupt with joy. And you don't know all the other people, but everybody's high-fiving and fist-bumping. Maybe not this fall, but we can look forward to that time, perhaps, in the future. Your team wins. You celebrate. And you celebrate with the people all around. And we have this hope, not only of gladness, but of the glory of God, because God wins. Our hope is certain. God has been gracious to us, and He will continue to be gracious to us. I didn't mention it, but in the Perfect Storm show, if you go to see it, if you haven't already, there is another vessel that's caught up in this storm. This vessel is a sailboat, and the sailboat is with a veteran sea sailor, and he's there with, I think, two women, and they're caught in the storm, and finally they realize their despair, and so they just button it up. It becomes a almost completely watertight capsule. He pulls the sails in, they pull everything down, they climb into the cabin, and they button it up. And they just decide they're going to ride out the storm. They roll over and they roll over and they survive. The storm calms. I'm not sure all that I want to make out of that story. One thing I would make out of it is, can we be like, do we, when we go through this kind of a storm, do we just button up? Do we just close down? Do we just isolate? Do we just grit our teeth and wait till the storm is over? You see, when we see here that God has blessed us, we enjoy the blessing for sure. But if you remember in Acts chapter 1, the ultimate blessing, the divine blessing of God's Spirit comes upon God's people. and God's Spirit, God's blessing comes upon us, that we would go and be His witnesses, locally, regionally, and globally. You see, God's blessing is not just so that we would enjoy it and button up and ride out the storm. We will be tethered and pulled through the storm, but we will also take the blessing of God's Spirit and this news of God's glory and the news that one day the nations will be ruled and judged and guided by the supreme judge, the judge who has given His life for all who will trust in Him. We will share that blessing, and one day all nations will worship together. Would you pray with me? Our Father, thank You so much that You are a promise keeper. You made promises to Abraham. You ordained blessings to get Your people through Aaron. And You show that the promise weaves its way through all the way into a worship that lies ahead of us. Even Romans chapter 7, we see it portrayed. And we know, Father, that the blessings that You have lavished upon us have indeed been intended by You for all nations, for all who would hear of Your glory and of the gladness that You have for us in Jesus. May we enjoy this blessing no matter what our circumstances are, and may we give evidence. May we be able to find words for the hope that we have in your son Jesus as we relate to those around us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.